Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the whoop-whooping voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
Whoop-whoop.
Indeed. Have you heard of this?
No, never.
So this is a, I want to call it a bracelet, but that sounds probably the wrong name for what it is. What would you describe this as that I'm wearing on my wrist?
It's a watch, is what it is.
The watch, that's right. A watch face. A watch would signify that it tells the time.
Does it right. not tell the time?
Well, no, this doesn't. Look, it's just a strap. It's essentially a strap.
Oh, I thought it was an equivalent of a Fitbit.
No, a Fitbit. No, it's not a Fitbit. It's a Whoop. WHOOP. By the way, this isn't like advertising. They haven't sponsored us or anything. Although, if you guys do want to sponsor us, you do know how to get in touch. We'll give you the details shortly. No, it's a Whoop, which reads my sleep. It reads my recovery levels. Basically tells me where I am as a human being.
Fake news. Is what that is?
No, it's very, very clever. Do you know what? It is very, very clever. I would actually, and again, genuinely, this isn't a sales pitch that I'm trying to put forward here. So when I wake up in the morning, it tells me exactly how many minutes I've had sleep, how many minutes I've gone into real deep sleep. Is it REM sleep, whatever it's called? Yeah, so you get a real good idea as to where you are. Where you are, your exertion levels during the day. So if you do a workout, then of course your exertion levels will increase. Or if you have a day like I had yesterday where I sat behind the desk all day, then the exertion levels are very, very low. So you can just have a bit of an idea as to days that maybe you need to just up things a little bit or maybe have a bit more of a rest. Today's a day that I realized I slept really well last night. 84% my performance was in my sleep. I got 84% of what they said I should have got. So I'm in a really good place today, ready for this podcast.
Arguably the best performance you've ever made, really.
Wow, harsh, harsh.
Can we really buy into that sort of stuff? Do we really believe that it tells us exactly how we sleep at night?
I like the idea of it because I think that, look, we talk a lot on this program, this podcast, about objective markers. And, you know, if we're talking about development as a goalkeeper, it's all good and well that you go by, you do your training sessions and gradually you will improve. But to actually have objective markers, to know that you've got that little bit more powerful, one of the simple ways might be that, you know, you were doing a certain number on the bench press and all of a sudden you're doing that bit more, or the jump tests that you might do. And I know guys that are at pro clubs, you'll have done this, where you'll know your exact spring, what height you're getting using the force plates. And of course, the more work you do in the gym, suddenly you're jumping that little bit more, you're springing that bit more, which therefore means that you are that much better. You've improved. And it's similar to that to an extent. I love the fact that there are numbers behind what it is that we do. And I just love the thought process of that.
Okay. I estimate this will last about 2 weeks before that comes off your wrist.
The beauty of that, now that you've said that, I will make sure that I now wear this for years on end.
But you are right. Quite incredibly, you've actually turned it into a more serious point here, haven't you? About continual, never-ending improvement.
And actually having, you know, there are so many simple... In fact, I do want to talk about that a little bit, come to think of it, because this is it. The idea of improving, and ordinarily improvement comes from stretching your comfort zones and taking yourself outside of those comfort zones. But by knowing objectively what you're improving and how you can improve it, whether it be something regarding shot stopping, cross taking, distribution, your positioning, your mental strength when it comes to playing in bigger games and maintaining that optimal position or that optimal performance mindset that you want to have. And a lot of it you can break down into objective markers. And I guess that is the thinking behind this. And although my life is very different now, it's not preparing for a game on a Saturday. It's still a similar mentality. If you want to be that little bit better, how can you be that little bit better?
Okay, well, that's good.
There you go. We're off to a powerful start.
We are. Quick one today as well.
It will be. There's not loads going on really, is there?
No, not a whole lot of goalkeeping activity, which is a good thing sometimes. There's still a lot of goalkeeping activity, of course, but no major talking points. I mean, we could go super duper niche, but I think that's just a step too far for us. So a bit of Champions League reaction and the best of the rest from the EFL too. If you'd like to get in touch with us, very easy to do so on Twitter at GK Union. Hello at goalkeepersunion.net or on our brand new phone number 07503673020. On with the show.
I'd say it isn't brand new anymore.
Yeah, I realised that as soon as I said it.
Yeah, and you've said it now, it's too late. I mean, we have got the power to edit this and re-record, but I don't think we're going to, are we?
On with the show, Richard.
Let's do it.
Let's quickly talk Champions League. Not too much, like we said, to reflect on, but Chelsea, Edouard Mondi, again, doing his thing. A pair of saves from Joao Felix, the one at the end, very good.
Indeed, yeah, another good outing for Mondi. Or Mendy. I'm going to go Mendy. I'm sorry. At this point, I am going to ditch it. We've been doing this for far too long. No, and I'm really pleased. Look, we spoke about it. And since Thomas Tuchel's come in, of course, it's been fantastic for Mendy and even Kepa, the game he came in for, in fairness. But look, very good again. Another clean sheet. We speak about the narrative all the time, and it really has turned in a positive way again. And I thought that handling was good on occasions. I thought that his body language is very, very good. And yeah, to touch on the save at the end, really good reactions to get it up and over the bar from where he was. I thought it was an excellent save. And you never know, they concede in that moment. It could have meant for a nervous last few minutes. So a very important save as well.
And there was another save that you spotted that I thought nothing of, really, but you've seen something in this.
Yeah, just the one on the angle, which I guess would be considered reasonably routine in that he took up a good position, good set position. The shot was fired in at pace from the angle, and he's kind of parried it back to where it came from. Now, this is one of those saves that won't really be spoke of too much because it's quite a difficult one. If you can imagine, if you take that position at the near post and someone's shooting on the angle, then the natural thing to do is to parry it back in play, parry it to your right in this case. That the perfect parry is to get a very fine fingertip on it and put it around the post for a corner. But of course, there's such a risk in this. If you don't quite get the fingertip right, it could nestle in the far corner. Similarly, if you get a bit too much on it, it goes out towards the penalty spot and may result in a very simple finish for someone. So I'm seeing this more and more that goalkeepers, elite goalkeepers, then looking to parry back where it came from. And I do think that is a good technique to do. I think ideally, if you're making a save on the angle and you cannot hold it, rather than parrying it across the goal and not knowing who's behind you, if you can somehow get it back to where it came from and get enough purchase on it, enough of a parry on it, then more often than not, you will clear the danger, which he did in this example. And I just think it's very intelligent goalkeeping.
Six clean sheets in a row now for him, 2 goals conceded in his last 10 games. He's certainly doing a job at Chelsea. Atalanta goalkeeper Marco Sportiello in the game between them and Real Madrid. Poor clearance to allow Luka Modric in to give it to Karim Benzema and a goal for Madrid.
It was, first and foremost, I said it was a dreadful back pass. That's not to take anything away from the fact that it was an error, but it zipped back into him in such a way that ideally, he'd want to have a touch, but he could see that someone was closing him down. So what he's done, and I think what he has done, I don't mind. I actually quite like the fact that he's gone with the type of clearance he's trying to do, which is to open the foot up and effectively do a big side foot clearance, which is a skill in itself. And it's something that I see a lot of goalkeepers do and do very well, certainly when the ball is coming back at pace, rather than trying to drive through it with your laces, which of course the surface area is that much smaller, to simply open the foot up and to try and utilize the pace on the ball to then get good height, good distance, and get it into a safe area, I think makes sense. But he just miscued it, came back to him, almost hit him more on the ankle than the side of the foot. And yeah, of course, from that moment onwards, there was not a lot he could do. They played it very well, in fairness to them, with the ball across the box and then a simple finish. So a horrible moment for him. And you could sense his frustration, or see his frustration in his reaction, because, of course, that then puts him 2-0 down on aggregate, does make it a mountain to climb and a tough night from there on.
Good save in the second half from Karim Benzema, the header. Did you see the free kick from Atalanta?
I did. Yeah, it was very unique. I've never seen anything like it before. Absolutely no chance Courtois for me. I thought he's executed the free kick perfectly. I think the wall's good. They've got is it the crocodile? Is that what we call it?
That's what we're going with, yeah.
That's what we're going with, behind the wall. Look, I just think, and I'll say this all the time, I think when it's up, down, over the wall, in the corner, in the way that it was, with pace, very little you can do. I thought Courtois took up a good position, got a step in, got a good dive away, but just couldn't quite get enough of a hand to keep it out.
Looking good, by the way, Courtois, isn't he?
He is. I mean, I know he's got his critics out there, but I think for everything you're looking for in a goalkeeper, and certainly a couple of moments in this game, the one where he did engage to make the one-on-one save, I thought was excellent. Just, we talk about positioning. When you turn a shot into a one-on-one situation where you feel like you can get close enough to do the long barrier, which is exactly what he did. He waited, decided to engaged at pace, but managed to set himself, compose himself in order to make the long barrier and make a very good save.
Okay, that's that.
Well, flying through it, Matthew.
Flying through the Champions League. Now it is over to this. Yes, Richard. Doesn't feel right, me starting this bit, but it is time for the Championship rundown.
It is.
Okay, Neil Etheridge, a couple of good stops in Lee Bowyer's first game and first win as Birmingham boss. A tip over from the Maite free kick was a little bit different, I have to say, to begin with.
Yeah, a bit unorthodox. I do think it took the slightest of deflections, and I think that was the reason why, because he's moved quite sharply to his right. And ordinarily with this one, you would likely go with your left hand. I'm thinking this through as I'm talking. You'd likely go with your left hand for a tip over, but he's almost gone with his right hand back to his left. And I do think that was because of the slight deflection, which made it look a little bit unorthodox. But yeah, a couple of good saves in this one. The goal was an interesting one. It was one of those horrible corners that's played in, and it's quite low and it's coming with pace. And I think at first he thought he could get there, soon realized it was always rising and maybe wasn't going to get there. But of course, by making that decision, he was then out of position for the header at the back post and wasn't able to recover in time. So I'm sure he'll be a little bit frustrated with that. But look, big win for Birmingham. Of course, that's given them a bit of a gap between them and the bottom three. Great first day in charge for Mr. Boyer.
Absolutely. Brice Samba injured at Nottingham Forest. So Jordan Smith with his first championship start of the season. Excellent save from Kenny McLean. They lost 2-0 to Norwich. He could do nothing with either of the goals, but it could have been three in the first half had it not been for his good save.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Classic one-on-one situation where the ball's broke and he had a bit of a decision as to whether to stay set and look to make the save or to come and engage. And he engaged so quickly, came out quickly, spread himself really, really well, made himself big. And as much as the commentary that we listened to suggested that the attacker could have done a little bit more, I think the pace at which Jordan Smith came out, he got so close to the ball by the time the shot was taken that it was going to be very, very difficult to get it past him, and made an excellent save with his outstretched left hand.
I have to say, I am loving the no sponsor on the Forest shirts at the moment. They were with Football Index, weren't they?
That's
who've
right.
gone into administration. So no sponsors on the home shirt. And the goalkeeper shirt, just hark back to the old school. It's the same with Lazio as well, actually.
Okay.
Pepe Reina in the Lazio top. I know it's been all this season, but I was watching the game with Bayern Munich last night and no sponsor.
Do you think that could be... Well, it's not going to be something that catches on, because ideally they want sponsors.
Yeah, it won't continue. They've just struggled to get a sponsor. I think they were with Marathon Bet.
Okay.
It's a gambling thing in
That's right.
Serie A, isn't
but
it?
But now they're like us, effectively. No sponsors.
Just like the everyday
just
goalkeeper.
Just like us.
And GKU. wonderful. Daniel Backman with a penalty save. A couple of commentary corner shouts on this one. This was your former club, which a few tweeters were saying.
Yeah, indeed. Big save. I say big save. They were 3-0 up at the time, but you just never know. They score this, and of course, it changes the dynamic of the game. Interestingly, if you watch it carefully, he left ever so slightly more room to one side than the other, and he ended up diving that side, which is a strategy that a lot of goalkeepers go with, and I'm always intrigued by the strategy that you have when facing a penalty. I'm sure you guys listening in, some will do the fake step one way, dive the other way. Some will do the double bluff, the fake step one way, and still dive that way. Some will almost pretend like they're not aware that they're not quite stood in the middle of the goal, like they're really naive to the fact that they've left a slightly bigger gap, and again will dive that way. And I think that's what Daniel Backman has done here. He's left just a slightly bigger gap to one side, and of course he moves at such pace. Good dive to his right hand side, and although the ball's pretty much in the corner, he gets there very easily, which is huge credit to him and how powerful he is. But of course that then led to the classic shout of good height for a goalkeeper, which, I mean, it was a great save. It was a great save. I'm actually not sure who the commentator was, because of course I do know the Watford commentators, and ordinarily it's Tommy Mooney, but I wasn't sure if it was or not. But I will ask next time I'm in, and don't worry, I'll be sure to correct.
Yeah, Dan on Twitter did say Mr. Mooney. I listened to it, didn't think it was Tommy Mooney.
It sounded a bit different, didn't it?
It did sound a bit different.
It's John Marks who does it alongside, so I'll find out one way or the other. Don't worry, this case isn't closed.
In the game between Cardiff and Stoke, I think a goalless draw is arguably what both goalkeepers would have been happy with. Dylan Phillips, of course, coming off the back of that Watford game. Not too much to do, made a good save low to deny Stephen Fletcher. And Adam Davies in for his first start since the end of October for Stoke. Clean sheets.
Yes, indeed. A couple of lads that I work with. So delighted for both of them to keep a clean sheet. And for different reasons, because Adam Davies has been out of the team for quite some time. No fault of his own, but injury. Came back in, and just a phenomenal record of clean sheets that he has for Stoke. And I think it's a 50% win ratio as well. So I'm sure the Stoke fans will have been delighted to see him back. And of course, now might have a chance of playing for Wales in their next qualifier. So we'll see how that plays out. And for Dylan, the fact that he did have the error in the previous game just to be able to bounce back in the way that he did. Because again, we talk about that so much on this show, the ability to bounce back. As a goalkeeper, you are going to make mistakes. You're going to cost your team from time to time. But do you have the resilience and mentality just to step into the next game as if nothing's happened? And in fairness to Dylan, he's done that a few times in his career and showed the same in this one.
Max O'Leary also in for his first start since mid-October, only his second of the season at Bristol City, so good to see him back in action. Asmir Begovic with another good stop for Bournemouth as well, a top-hand save from Morgan Whittaker, then a shot down low from the same player, big win for Bournemouth against Swansea.
Yeah, it's fascinating, the playoff chase, the fact that Barnsley are doing as well as they are, and they just continue, credit to them, because again, their budget would suggest they should be at the other end of the table, but they're doing some incredible things there. Bournemouth, on the other hand, of course, have a much bigger budget on the back of dropping from the Premier League, but this was a really big result for them, and could have been very different. I mean, you mentioned the save that Asmir Begovic made, certainly to his top left. Brilliant, brilliant save. That's arrowing in the top corner. But again, he is big, powerful man. The way he moves to his left, good spring, decides to go with his left hand, gets a big, firm hand to it, puts it around the post, and an excellent save in the second half as well that you touched on. And he's continuing to have an excellent season for Bournemouth, and you can't help but feel that he could be vital in the running.
There was also a good save in this game from Freddie Woodman. And do you know what? I think we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Here we go.
Commentary corner.
So I feel like this has to be highlighted. This was from the highlights on Quest, and it was Steve Wilson, the commentator. Freddie Woodman made a really good save from Cameron Carter-Vickers. It was the header, the point-blank header. Steve Wilson, it was very central. All Freddie Woodman had to do really was put his hand up and divert it over the bar, and he did. Slight pause for the replay. It's a decent save. Horrendous. All he had to do was put his hand up.
Easy. You could have done it, Matt.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is the bit. It was quite funny, actually, watching, for anyone that watched Sky Sports News yesterday, or soccer, the soccer special that they do on the Tuesday, Wednesday night. Matt Murray was one of the pundits on the panel. And it actually got to the point where they were making a bit of fun, because Matt Murray would be pointing out all the great things that the goalkeeper was doing. They had Lee Hendry sat next to him, who was then producing cliche after cliche. And I did wonder whether Lee Hendry was doing it almost to wind up Matt with some of the classic goalkeeping shouts. But things like this, again, it takes away all the fine detail that you'll be talking about in regards to this save. The fact that he did drop to his line to maximise his reaction time, the fact that he set that little bit higher, knowing that the header was coming in from where it was coming in for, the pace at which the ball comes to him, the speed of reactions in order to get a good hand, the agility, athleticism shown in order to get up there to tip it over the bar. It is an excellent save. So then for all of that to be shrunk into a few words, which then effectively dismiss the talent and the ability and the skill that he's shown in order to make this save. It's so disappointing when you're a goalkeeper to hear that. But it is what it is, and that's essentially why we do what we do, and thankfully you guys are spreading the good word as well.
Without dwelling too much on this, because I know we've spoken about it a lot in the past, and we try to offer commentary corner more sparingly now, so it's not the same thing every single week. But I was watching the Gillette soccer special as well, and I just can't get my head around the fact that it was Julian Warren is the presenter, the one that steps in for Jeff Stelling. And whenever Matt Murray said, oh, I'm going to comment on the goalkeeper, it was a case of, oh, there's a surprise. Everybody laughing, an eye roll, you know, here or there from Lee Hendry or from Julian Warren. And I thought, if Lee Hendry was waxing lyrical about Kevin De Bruyne, no one would bat an eyelid. If Clinton Morrison started talking about a striker, no one would bat an eyelid. But Matt Murray talks about a goalkeeper. Oh, here we go. Goalkeepers union. Why is it different?
Yeah, well, that it is. That's the point. It is. And it is that. It's the, well, again, I know we keep saying that's why we do this show, but that's why we do this show. It's exactly that. We are playing an individual sport in a team environment. We're playing a different game to what they're playing. Now, the problem is, from our point of view, of course, on a soccer special, look, it's lucky that Matt Murray knows as much about outfield play as he does about goalkeeping. So, of course, he is giving a lot of comment and giving a lot of thoughts in regards to the game itself. But it's quite nice that he can then chip in and give some detail when it comes to the goalkeeping performances, good, bad, or indifferent. But of course, there is that element of the majority of people watching were outfield players or will care more about what's going on in the outfield. They might not know that much about goalkeeping. So, and I also do think that becomes a bit of a thing, them and us. I don't mind that too much. And especially when it's done in a jokey way like that, of course. And we do it the other way around. I don't know that much about outfield play. And I'm quite honest about that. I would never go into detail on a fullback, on a central midfielder, because I haven't played that position. I don't know the intricacies. I can give a very general opinion about them in the same way that they do about goalkeepers. They'll produce all these different cliches. And I could do that about an outfield player. Do you know what? He's a box-to-box player. He shoots well from range. He does whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying what I hear. So that's the point. But it does then become a bit of them and us. And also the fact that Matt will go into a bit of detail. And naturally, he's going to want to stick up for the goalkeepers. We all do, because we've all been there. And it's horrible when you're seeing them having a tough time. And you don't want to give them too much stick, because we know exactly what they've done and what they're going through.
Okay, shall we swiftly plough through the best of the rest from the EFL?
Let's do it.
Toby Savin of Accrington, a save from David Morgan, his own player, a header in the first half against Sunderland, nearly an own goal that he prevented. But the first goal didn't quite get the flight of the ball.
Yeah, credit for the save, certainly. And it was a strange one that beat him. I mean, I've watched it a couple of times, and it was a looping header that isn't an easy save, certainly, but it does just feel like he might have just lost the flight of it. He's moved backwards, and you can't quite work out whether he simply can't get there or whether he has just lost the flight of it as it's dropped in under the bar. The reaction of his teammates probably don't help, because you could sense that certainly there was a centre-back there that instantly shouts at him along the lines of, what are you doing? And I guess that was more based out of frustration, because that was the opening goal in this game. And of course, Sunderland absolutely flying at the moment. So it'll be a frustrating moment for him, but it was one that, again, because you only get that one camera angle, you can't quite sense whether it's one that he should save or whether it was just simply one that was out of his reach.
Another goal from a corner. Richard, we've seen a few of these in recent weeks. Craig McGillivray punching into Rasmus Nicolaisen. It was a Harrison Burrows corner. Peterborough winning against Portsmouth. A bad run still for Portsmouth continues, but another goal from a corner.
Yeah, we've seen a few of late. And this is, I mean, it's one of those horrible ones. It's whipped in, left-footed, near post, in swinging. What I'd say is that if you are a goalkeeper that does tend to have a starting position of slightly back half of the goal, maybe 2-3 yards out, and you have got someone in front of you, there is actually quite a long way that you need to move in order to get to your near post. So it's not, sometimes it can look dreadful, but knowing the position as we do, you might have to move to your left in order to then come forward to then attack the ball and try and get it out. And you can see that in this situation, that he's ended up getting there, just about got there and clawed it out. And that's then when you're relying on a little bit of luck. And unfortunately, he didn't get that luck, went straight on his own player and obviously went into the back of the net, unfortunately for him. But it's, yeah, tough one. And I think in terms of how you can negate this, I guess if you do have a man on the near post and you have that, hopefully they're not too advanced. I get the feeling that if somebody was stood on the near post here, they might have been able to have got there and got a header away. The moment you don't have anybody in there, you are a little bit exposed for that ball that is whipped into that area like this was.
Ed Upson with an odd goal past Ben Amos to put Bristol Rovers 2-0 up at Charlton. Charlton pulled it back to win 3-2, and Joe Day dismissed in stoppage time for his challenge on Chuksunike.
We disagree on this, don't we? I don't think this is sending off. I just think this is a pump forward. He's gone for the header. I don't think if the Charlton lad, even he wins the header, which he does, I don't think he gets onto that and has an empty net. I think it's one that he wins the header and the two covering defenders would get there first. So I think it's a booking. I know you think it's a red.
It's a difficult one, this, because the covering defenders would get there if the challenge was there. If the challenge wasn't there, he's through on goal. So
I see what
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But ultimately, this is just a header that he's lost. If two people have gone up for a header, it just so happens at the point of them going up for the header, there's no one behind him and it's an empty net. But if you had, let's say...
Well, that's exactly the point, yeah.
No, but then it's also then, does he get onto the loose ball and score? I don't think he does. I think the two covering defenders get back and cover, even if he wins the header like he has. I still think the two defenders get that back there and cover. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. This is where it's quite a grey area, right? Because if he wins the header, there's no way he can win that header without being impeded by Joe Day. Do you know what I mean? There's just no way that he will be able to continue his run, because they're both going up for the header. So there's no way he's going to be able to continue his run, right?
I feel like we should put this out for a poll. Is this a sending off or not? I feel like we could do this on Twitter. It'd be really interesting to see the response. I'm quite adamant this should be a booking. It wouldn't surprise me if they do appeal. I haven't looked, to be honest, whether they are or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if they do appeal. And I've got a feeling they might win the appeal. But who knows?
Really?
I feel so. Yeah, I just think that it's not a dreadful challenge. He's gone up for a header. I think it's a good decision for him to come out and try and win the header. Obviously, he's just been out jumped in the end. And of course, it is a foul. I just think it's no more than a booking.
Okay.
The Ben Amos one, I'll touch on that because that was, and I say I'll touch on it, there's not a lot to say really from my point of view because, again, this is one of the problems about when we do the EFL roundup is, of course, you only get one camera angle at so many of these games. So we've seen this. It hasn't taken a deflection, but it has bamboozled him. So you can only feel that it has moved in the air. But, of course, without being able to have the view from behind the goal or behind the person taking the strike, it's so hard to see whether it is a knuckleball, whether it's moved much on Ben. But essentially, he has taken such a big step to his left. You can only feel that he's lost the flight of the ball and that the ball has moved back on him. And in the end, obviously, it goes into the centre of the goal.
Good win for Johnny Jackson. First game in charge for Charlton. Yeah,
great comeback.
Do you know Johnny Jackson? You might have mentioned him before.
No? Have I mentioned him? I don't know if I've mentioned him. But actually, funnily enough, there was a game I played against Charlton when I saved three penalties. And the first one was a Johnny Jackson penalty.
We need a massive Family Fortunes buzzer, I think, in there. But we are going to put that up on Twitter, that sending off that you speak of. We're also going to put up the Liam Roberts foul in the final minute of Walsall's draw with Crawley. This was right at the death, and he piled into Jordan Tunnicliffe. Tom Nicholls converted the penalty. Was this a foul or not, Richard?
Again, I know you think this is a foul, and don't get me wrong, he absolutely munches the player that he comes through. I'm sat on the fence here. Look, I can appreciate that he has taken this lad out. Absolutely. But I've never seen someone punch the ball quite so far. It's the most incredible connection. It wouldn't surprise me if the ball ends up out the ground. He makes brilliant connections. So if you look at it on a real basic level, it's a ball that's played into the box. Yes, he's come a long way, but he does get there first and gets a punch on the ball, and the player just happens to be collateral damage. So I'm going to go on the side of no foul.
As I expected, we'll let the Twitter sphere decide on that one. Grimsby, another clean sheet for James McKeown, kept out Paul Lewis in the first half of their draw with Tranmere. Scott Davies, another clean sheet as well. I think that's 14 in 31 games for him.
Yeah, phenomenal season. I feel like we mention him a lot on the show, which is huge credit to him because of how well he's done, the number of clean sheets, and of course, so far, a very good season for Tranmere.
Absolutely. And to finish, Paul Farman was replaced at Carlisle. He was injured, so Magnus Norman came in for his Carlisle debut. Saved well from Jason Law and then made a great save to tip onto the bar from James Perch.
Yeah, brilliant save. Really, really good. Because he actually is very positive in the initial phase where he decides to come for the cross. Doesn't quite execute the punch in the way that he'd want. Doesn't get the distance on it, but recovers very well and shows a brilliant reaction to tip it onto the bar. I do think he might be frustrated with the goal conceded. I mean, look, maybe this is more one of my things than a general feeling, but it was a free kick. It's gone in his side low into the corner, and I can't help but feel that he started to maybe edge to his left behind the wall. And of course, in the end, the player taking the free kick has effectively just passed it into the corner of the goal, and he doesn't get a dive away. So I think he might be a little bit frustrated with that. But no, certainly a brilliant save before that.
First league appearance since New Year's Day 2019.
Is that what it is? Mm. Wow, well, there you go.
Sometimes it takes a bit of wing rust, goalkeeper rust.
This is true. You know my thoughts on this. I think it does, for goalkeepers, arguably more than outfield players, just a couple of games to get yourself back in the swing of it. I don't care how many under 23 games you can play, as much as they serve a purpose, so different to playing a first team game.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
Okay, a quick keeper caper to finish. We must thank William McMillan for alerting us to this. He tweeted us saying, confident take, quick release up the park. Think that is how it is done. And William was referring to Mark Ridgers of Inverness Caledonian Thistle, Richard, an assist for Daniel McKay in their win over Raith Rovers. Jamie McDonald in goal for Raith and being caught out, but a great assist from Mr. Ridgers.
It was exactly that. Great take from the corner and the speed of thought to see the fact that it would have been a one-on-one, executes the kick perfectly, in behind the covering defender, makes it a one-on-one. And I feel for Jamie McDonald because it's one that I think instantly he realises he's caught out a little bit because, of course, he's got an advanced starting position thinking, can I come for the through ball? at the moment he realizes he can't come for the through ball, he's suddenly 18, 20 yards out, the ball's bobbling, and in the end, it's a reasonably simple finish to put it over him and put it into the empty net. Of course, in a perfect world, he would have been able to drop and get himself back and turn it into a one-on-one. But nonetheless, great goalkeeping from Mark Ridgers, great take on the cross, and as I say, really executed the side volley perfectly.
Right, my save to finish.
Let's do it.
So, this is from Ethan Ross of Lincoln City, 24 years old, on loan at Weymouth in the National League, was previously with Colchester and West Brom. I think that's where he started his career, wasn't it, at West Brom. This was in a game against Stockport. He's messaged us and said, absolutely loving the podcast, mate. Speeds me up the long journeys from Lincoln to Weymouth and back. Great content from some top-class goalkeepers. Every car journey is a classroom for me at the moment.
There you go. Thank you very much, Ethan.
Let's look at this save, shall we?
Okay, so I'll try and describe it as I see it. Ball crossed in from the left. Ball breaks in. Oh, what a save that is. Right, so the ball's been crossed in from the left. It's a header down, 6 yards out. The lad's come in, absolutely smashed it from, what, 5-6 yards. And the speed, he gets down to his right. And I think it's his right boot, I want to say, in the end he gets to it. But it's actually the movement just before. He's had to move really sharply to his right to take up the optimum position and has made it very, very difficult for the striker coming in. I mean, look, if someone's commentating on that and we're doing a commentary corner, they're probably saying that the striker has to score. But do not take away from the fact that is absolutely brilliant goalkeeping. Great save. Now, Matt, you're going to tell me this was the save that meant that they won 1-0. Is that right?
Actually, you're bang on the money.
Well, there you go.
Didn't even give you that. I didn't even feed you that nugget of info. No, they won 1-0. Scored inside the first 5 minutes. Big result.
Crucial. Yeah, and certainly the amount of money that I know Stockport are putting towards their bid to get themselves back into the Football League. Great result.
Okay, Richard, thank you.
Matthew, as always, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers
away.